I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Have you seen the latest reader board on the potato shed in Burlington? Not the one in the picture, but the latest one. They put up some of the most clever little reader boards. And I drove by it the other day, and I thought, oh, I'm going to open with this. It just said, life is like a game of chess. I don't know how to play chess. I thought, oh, that just says it. Right? Okay, well, I want to talk about, you know, Noah's right in the middle of his Atomic Faith series, right? Well, I'll tell you what I love about Noah's Atomic Faith series. Number one, he gave us a bit of honeys to eat. One of my favorites. So that was good. But not only that, and this is the biggie, he's really helped us to see that life can be lived like a game of checkers. And we need that, you know, with simple, small moves that lead to big spiritual wins. Okay? And he's really driven that point home in a way I've not heard before. Jesus said we must become as little children. And little kids cannot rely on willpower to change their behavior. And neither should we. You know, you need to use willpower, but you can't rely on it. So we got to count the cost, right? Something else, we got to count the cost and take solid, sacred baby steps to mold our identity. That's kind of the crux of what Noah's been teaching, and I love it, because once you start molding your identity, then you just patiently wait for spiritual muscles to gradually grow as our new nature takes its course. And so the thing is, I want to focus in on something that we tend to write off or even laugh off, which is, but I'm very serious about it. It is the potential spiritual power of sustainable subatomic steps, like the tiny steps. We laugh off the tiny steps that Noah was talking about as part of his message, but I tried it out, and it's changed my, because he's talking about our spiritual lives, but it works no matter what you apply it to. So I'm going to give you a for instance. For months, because this is true, and it's happening in my life, for months, I've been rebelling against a post-it note that I wrote. It's on my dresser, says, use the pull-up bar. I thought maybe reminding myself, because I used to be much more fit than I am right now and not really doing that much. But I have this note, use a pull-up bar. I'm rebelling because I don't want to. I don't want to use it. And that's because it's a commitment, right? It's the commitment I'm rebelling against. But I want to because I want to be fit. So 3 weeks ago, Noah's talking about that, and I went, he talked about a lot of things, but that was the point that hit me. I went, yeah, I don't want to be a counterfeit, so I'm going to count the cost to get fit. And now, because of Noah, I can tell you honestly, every morning I faithfully go out to the garage and say hi to my pull-up bar. Do you remember him making that point? Yeah. And nothing more. Because, and I'm serious about this, we grossly underestimate the cost of consistency. It's been hard to make myself go say hi to the pull-up bar. Just that. I get in the car, I forget, and I get in my car, I go, oh, I forgot to go to the pull-up bar. Go in and say hi, and out I go. Okay. I don't want to brag, but I've also hung on it a couple times. And then that reminded me, oh yeah, I got to build up like tough hands again. My hands hurt after I hung on it. It's like, I forgot I need some calluses on there. And I actually did, I pulled myself up once and then had this pain down my, oh yeah, thank you, Rob. Had this pain that lasted for almost a week. And it's like, okay, we're going back to just saying hi. But this is the point he was making. That's what I'm going to call subatomic success. Because I'm going to take Noah's atomic faith and we're going subatomic. We're going way smaller. Here's the question for the day. Do you want to be just like Jesus? Because I didn't. I do now, but I didn't. Much like the pull-up bar, I wanted to. And so I'm looking back years and years ago, and I realize I did what Noah's saying. I took baby steps. That's how it finally took. First thing I had to do is figure out what does that even mean? You want to be just like Jesus? Yeah. I don't know. You want to move to Israel and learn to speak Aramaic and speak in parables and wear a tallit and a tzitzit? And you're like, I don't even know what a tallit and a tzitzit is. But then you can't be just like Jesus because he wore one. And so I answered that question for myself, and the load got a whole lot lighter when I realized I just want to be what Jesus would be if he was me. And that's an eye-opener, so let's say it together. I want to be what Jesus would be if he was me. Because that's what he wants. He's not into clones or carbon copies, okay? But he's big into unity. Just not the stamped out cookie cutter kind that you find in cults, right? And boy bands, you know? What do they both have in common? They're of the devil. Okay, that's a joke. No, I won't go further. Because that's uniformity, and he's not into that. The Lord is all about, get this now, the Lord is all about the unity of distinctly different disciples forming one body, right? That's us, made up of many parts, because that's harmony. And that requires living relationships, which he just loves, rather than dead religious works, which he just hates, right? But those living relationships with Christ, that's where each part can accomplish their, our, yours, my uniquely created purpose. And back in the day, I could suddenly see clearly what Jesus meant when he said, or when he asked, can a blind man lead a blind man? No, obviously not. Will they not both fall into a pit eventually? But then he says, but this is all part of it here. A student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained, say those two words with me, fully trained will be like his teacher. In what way? Not identical. In the context here, not blind. That's it. That's the point here. Like their teeth. They'll be just not blind, which is why he then goes on. So why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye, you know, long before you're fully trained, and pay no attention to the plank, you know, that remains in your own eye? First, you know, let the teacher train you. Take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly like your teacher. To remove, to humbly, lovingly, gently help remove the speck from your brother's eye. So I guess the big question is, how in the world do you remove the plank that's in your own eye? And the answer is, one speck at a time. That's the truth, right? One speck at a time. And you got to let him remove that one speck, or he can't remove the next speck. But we laugh off the specs. By the way, that's why they call them spectacles. No, I'm lying. It's not why they call them. So, I don't know why I find that stuff funny. So, I'm looking at my life and I'm going, so what would Jesus be like if he was raised in a wrecking yard? Let's see. That picture was taken almost right where I'm standing, by the way. What would Jesus be like if he was raised in a wrecking yard and went to film school and loved the Marx Brothers? Huh? And I'll tell you, he would be all that, but without the plank in his eye. That's it. You get rid of that plank and you're fully trained. In other words, he would be me at my best and most blessed self. My most Christ-like self. But the real question is, what if he were you? He created your uniqueness with purpose, okay? Doesn't want uniformity. Why would he remove what he made? No, he just wants to remove whatever prevents it from becoming its best self. Which is why Paul reminds his Ephesian congregation that you were taught, so were we, you were taught with regard to your former way, your selfish way, of life, there we go, the selfish way of life, to put off your old self-centered, self-serving, self-absorbed, self-destructive self. Okay? That's all. Put the stuff off that nobody likes and that is doing you no favors. Okay? Which is being corrupted, New King James says, which grows corrupt. We don't want to grow corrupt. It's being corrupted by its deceitful, self-deceitful desires. Yeah, take that off in order to be made new. And now we're talking speck by speck and bit by bit of honey. In the attitude, this is where it happens. Be made new in the attitude of your minds, the little attitudes that sit up in your brain. That's what's got to be renewed. And that's what happens in those tiny baby steps. And then you can put on the new self-aware, self-controlled, self-sacrificing, self-disciplined self. Eventually, slowly, bit by bit, created to be like God would be if he was me or if he was you, in true righteousness and holiness. It's a big process, but we laugh off the necessary first steps. But I'm looking at that. You're made to be like God. Well, for me, what jumps out is I know that expression, and that is literally the oldest temptation in the book. When the serpent said to the woman, when you eat of the tree, your eyes will be open and you will be like God. So were we created to be or not to be like God? And the answer is a complicated yes. We were created to be and not to be. I want you to notice Paul's qualification to be like God, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness, right? You see, Paul is telling the Ephesians to imitate God's nature by submitting to his authority, okay? You see, the enemy comes and he tempts us to usurp God's authority by succumbing to our nature. Those are very different things, right? So don't fall for literally the oldest trick in the book. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. Because as a rule, dearly loved children sincerely imitate their parents in all the best ways. He says, do that and live a life of love. Who doesn't want that? You know, that's what you're going to imitate. Be like that. Do that. Imitate that. Live a life, your life. Live your unique life, but live it with God's love. Just as Christ. We got the example. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Live like that. Paul planted and pastored the church in Ephesus right there for 3 years. Okay? You may not have known that. And so then after he left them, he kept writing back to them because he just loved them. They were some of his best friends. And so when you read that letter to the Ephesians, the whole theme of this later letter is to simply imitate Jesus like little children. Okay, and you may remember, this has been 15 years ago, our Route 66 road trip through the Bible. Okay, and the episode of Ephesians, we went through all 66 books of the Bible in the old Ford Falcon and picked up the hitchhikers from the book, the different books. And when we came to the book of Ephesians, we had everyone imitate Jesus. And there was a bit of backlash because some found this quite offensive, which is why I think we should show it again. But before we do, I just want to say, I've just been waxing nostalgic here looking back a decade and a half. You may not find it as funny as I do, but man, is this my sense of humor. Here we go. Is this the way all the Ephesians dress?
Oh, no. You see, my son, we've removed the old self and put on the new self.
Oh. So, why do the new selves all look exactly alike?
Paul has written that we are to be imitators of Christ, my son.
Right.
I'm Jesus.
Huh?
I'm Jesus.
Oh.
I'm Jesus.
And I'm Jesus. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men.
Verily, I say unto you.
Yeah?
That's all I got.
a man had two sons. And one was the Good Samaritan and the other was the barren fig tree.
What? That's not a parable.
That doesn't even make any sense.
Mm-mm. Bless you. Bless you. and bless you.
He who hears... how's that go? Yeah.
You guys, you're just taking this thing way too literally.
But we're supposed to be the body of Christ.
And the blind shall lead the blind because they have a plank in their eye.
Okay, look. We are not called to mimic or impersonate Jesus, okay? But we're supposed to reflect his character. With our own individuality. Putting on the new self is symbolic. You know that, right? It's figurative. Like putting on the armor of God.
Huh? Not my armor.
Oh, really? Actual armor.
What about my helmet of salvation?
Yeah, my breastplate of righteousness.
Metaphors, guys. They're metaphors.
Bummer, man.
This stuff's expensive, you know.
Sorry, but they're analogies, allegories, all of it. Putting on the new self, the full armor of God, the bride of Christ.
Bride of Christ. But I just got a garter.
Seriously, guys? The bride.
But I just registered for a toaster.
Oh, there's... I'll tell you, in my mind, there's nothing funnier than Jim Shepler holding up a dress and I registered for a toaster. Okay, well, here's the point of all of this. How do we expect these massive, mature character changes to occur in dearly loved children? Gradually, incrementally, consistently, and then exponentially. And ultimately, permanently, looks he's a bit skeptical, but this is how it works, kid. If it's not permanent, if you go backwards, something's wrong. You know, if a toddler stops walking, goes back to crawling, we'd be rightly concerned. As is our Heavenly Father. Hebrews 5, well-known passage, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again. The first principles of the oracles of God. And you've come again, you know, to need milk and not solid food. What's going on? And then you realize, oh, being unskilled in the Word. Which is why it's crucial that we start somewhere with the Word. It's crucial that we become like little children and count the cost of consistency and lower your expectations and take solid, sacred sustainable, subatomic baby steps toward our true Christ-like self. Because Jesus said, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. And you know, well, what's that? Miracles, speaking in Aramaic, wearing the old tallit and tzitzit. I've got to find out what that is. A disciple is just another way of saying an apprentice. We use that term here a lot instead of disciple, an apprentice. And I just want to remind you, an apprentice is just a novice who job shadows a master, right? And so Jesus is quite clear as to what he came to do. And we got to do what he came to do and what he did. He says, I have come that they, the world, may have life. That's it. I've come that they may have life and have it to the full, as in fully trained. And for this, I came into the world to testify to the truth. Well, and for this, he says, I've come into the world as a light. For I've come down to do the will of him who sent me. And then he says, I now send you to turn them from darkness to light. But just like Rome, a disciplined apprentice isn't built in a day. However, they are built in a daily routine. And that routine, just please listen to this. It really needs to start out subatomic in scope in order to give it the staying power to last long enough to change your identity. And then let your new nature take its course. For instance, if you don't read your Bible, and a lot of believers don't, if you don't read your Bible, could you just be someone who opens their Bible? Literally just that. But every day. Do that. Just be a person. I mean, then you can tell me, I open my Bible every day. And it'll be true. And if you keep doing that, you will mold a new nature. And the day will come when your new nature takes its course and you will literally be tempted to start reading your Bible. And when that happens, read. But don't flood the engine. Okay? Dad used to always say, the devil stands there and wants to help everyone on the horse. Keep everyone off the horse. But if he knows they're going to get on the horse, he wants to be the first one to help them up and over. Just overwhelm them with all the stuff you're supposed to do for the Lord, then you don't want to get back on the horse. You know? So don't flood the engine. Because Mount Everest moments don't define our faith. But dinky, daily, deliberate disciplines do. Because they become habits, and habits become you. Which is why Jesus said, if you actually have faith, you know, it'll be as small as a mustard seed at first, right? But you have faith. You actually have it, though, that seed. Then you can, you know, eventually say to this mountain, move from here to there. And, you know, granted, if it's God's will, you don't get magic. But if it's God's will, it will move, okay? Because mountains are moved one tiny seed of faith at a time. And you do that and you apply that, nothing will be impossible for you. It's not just poetic, it's procedural. Subatomic faith doesn't focus on the mountains you need to move tomorrow. No, it is focused on the microscopic seconds you need to make sacred today. And microscopic seconds, easily doable to make a few seconds sacred. But see, we laugh it off, and so we never get started. Or we overwhelm ourselves, or we stare at the note that says use pull-up bar, and just don't, right? Years ago, I did what Noah actually suggested last Sunday. He said, put a Bible in your bathroom. Was it last Sunday or the Sunday before? I can't remember. Anyway, and I thought, that's funny. Brought the memory back. Yeah, I remember doing that years ago. It's like back when I didn't like reading my Bible. And as you know, I am now obsessed with the Bible. But there was a time when I didn't like reading it. And so I put a Bible in my bathroom and I still didn't read it because you had to open it. And that was too much. So I got an audio Bible that I could just play in the bathroom. I think back then it was cassette, but because I'm old. And so I didn't play it. So I wired it to the light switch. And some of you know that. You go in my bathroom and you turn on that light. It's now for years. The Bible comes on, right? Here's the point. Just whatever you do, do something. You know, I had to figure out how to overcome. The new me had to figure out how to come the old me, right? And now since then, and Noah was making fun of me a few weeks ago, I'm putting little amps and MP3 players in the Bible everywhere I can. They come on automatic just about everywhere I go. And so I'm just listening to the Bible, and it's wonderful. Just do something, however small. Because that turned into me being obsessed with the Word of God. It's crazy. The whole thing is you can't leave the little seed to fend for itself. Because the one who received the seed, that one little seed that was among the thorns, that's the guy who hears the word, you know. But the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, kill it. And he remains unskilled in the word. You can't avoid the worries of this life. But if that's our focus, they'll choke us. Plus, according to this, they'll even poke us. So tend to your tiny little seed. That's it. Just tend to your little seed. I mean, I feel like you're still not going to do it because it's too easy. You know, I feel like you're going to laugh and go, oh, yeah. I couldn't be more serious because it'll grow. And if you don't start small, it won't stay. You got to take it. Tend to your tiny little seed. It'll naturally grow. The solution isn't gritting your teeth. That's actually the biblical description of hell. Right? Just job shadow Jesus within the existing rhythm of your life. And you might try using a dry erase marker to write pray backwards on the outside of your shower door. Just as a reminder. Oh, pray. Yeah. I can do that while I'm showering. Right? You ever hear that the stop in stop signs stands for stomp toe on pedal? Anybody? No? Is that just me? Stomp toe on pedal? You ever hear it stands for spin tires on pavement?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That one we got. Okay, good. Well, how about this one? Short time of prayer. And I mean short. Instead of just coasting through and breaking the law, why don't you just take a subatomic break to stop coasting through the day and through life? Take a 2-second rest stop and pray. You ready? Here's the prayer. Let's go. And then go. But now God's going with you. That'll change your day, and that will change your week, and that will change your month, and that will change your life. Just that. Pharisees had their own apprenticeship program. Jesus is very much against it because it was all about straining in vain, trying to force every adherent to gnash their teeth and strive to become perfectly religious, right? And so Jesus said, this is Jesus at his best in my mind when it comes to the Pharisees. He said, you travel over land and sea to win a single convert. And they're all like, that's true. We do. He says, and then you make him twice as much a son of hell as you are. Did Jesus just say that? Yes. Woe to you blind guides. He says, you load people down with burdens. We're talking about religious burdens they can hardly carry. So it's not going to work. It's not going to last. So what's the answer? Well, he's got the answer. Come to me, because I'm nothing like that. come to me, all you who are weary and burdened by all that. I'll give you rest if you let him. But we don't let him. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle. No. Because then we read another passage. And boy, he lays this biggie on the boys. He says, you shall be perfect. You shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Oh, really? But wait, hold on. Thankfully, we are also told to let patience have its perfect work. It's not on you to become perfect. That'll just happen as the seed grows, okay? You just be patient. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may, speck by speck, eventually, be perfect and complete. And then he says, here's what that means. Just lacking nothing. Lacking nothing. Lacking nothing. What do you mean lacking nothing? Lacking nothing when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Who doesn't want all those? So how do you get them? Just walk as children. Walk as little children of light, who simply job shadow Jesus. For the fruit of the Spirit, which is what those seeds are going to grow. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. You're supposed to be like God in righteousness and truth. And it says, little children, John writes, little children, it's like he's saying, don't freak out. Whoever practices righteousness, just practices righteousness, is righteous. Not only is righteous as he is righteous, because that's all he asks. You're doing it. You're doing it. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him. And if it abides, it means it grows. And it grows in the attitude of his mind. So he cannot, just keep on sinning, because it'll become less and less appealing and more repelling. And then it says, and by this growing seed, it is evident over time who are the children of God, right? Because whoever does not even practice 2 seconds of righteousness at the stop sign, whoever does not practice righteousness, not a God. It's not a God. So I'm saying, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve in whatever subatomic way. But as for me and my house and my bathroom, we will serve, you laugh if you want, we will serve the Lord. For as Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light when you're doing it right. Because he asks us to tend to just one little seed at a time. That's what he's asking. Because we're a lot like Peter, sadly. Especially when Jesus just wanted to wash his feet. I'm gonna wash your feet, right? And Peter first said, no, you're not going to wash my feet, Lord. That's beneath you. And I'm blah, blah, blah. And so you don't wash. He's like, and then Jesus says, look, Peter, unless I wash you. And now we're going to take that to mean like the little daily things, encounters we have with Jesus washing us from the inside, okay? Unless I wash you, you won't belong to me. Oh. And then Simon Peter saying, oh, then wash my hands and head as well, Lord. Not just my feet. Wash everything. And Jesus replied, hold on there, tiger. I just want to wash your feet. Don't flood the engine. A person who is bathed all over does not need to wash except for the feet to be entirely clean. And rest assured, you disciples, who belong to me, he's saying, by allowing me to simply wash your feet, you are clean because of me, he's saying. I did that. The old, he's made perfect all those who are being made righteous. Because in his apprenticeship program, you become a journeyman the moment you begin. So why not allow the master to serve you as his child and friend and simply and consistently begin to practice a mere moment of his presence and do so with the astonishingly easily obtainable goal of gradually forming a sacred habit. One small step of faith at a time. So much value in that. And just follow him by allowing him to walk in your shoes. Because as it turns out, the most real you will be the fully trained version that's clearly functioning in your created uniqueness and purpose. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father God, help us. Lord, we love you and worship you and offer our planks to you speck by speck. Holy Spirit, inspire us to take those small, solid, sacred steps to our truest Christ-like self. And Lord Jesus, we praise you and adore you, and we humbly come to learn to be like you. And in your name, everybody said, amen. Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.